All right. How many brought your Bible? Y'all bring your Bible? Raise them up. Let me see your Bible. It's very, very important. As of now, I will never put the scriptures up there on that screen, because what I see is it causes people really not to bring their word. And I've seen it over big, big churches and that. But I'm not against it. And if the Lord changes my heart on that, I'm fine with that. I love it when we can help people read up there. But when you bring your word, you start finding out that it's your manual and it's your life, your sword. And man, when you have that sword with you, it's kind of like any business person when, you know, when you're a cattle man, normally you're always going to find on the trailers or in the trucks a hot shot or a sorting stick or a flag. And I mean, it's just with you all the time. Primarily a hot shot, because there's a lot of times when you got a steer or a bull or a cow balking, that a little old hot shot will add a little fire. Now, it can get you in trouble as well, because they'll come after you. But normally, you know, it's just designed to get them to roll. And you know, it doesn't necessarily hurt them, but it gives them a little shock of encouragement. Say amen to that. I'm thinking about doing that to some of my congregants that... No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't dare. Well, I probably would, but... But you know, that's their sword of what they do. Their profession is they want to have a sorting stick. You know, when a Christian lives by the Word of God, then this is your manual. And you've got to start not just picking it up when you come to church, but it ought to be a part of your life that has every question and answer that you need. It's all found in your sword, your protection, praise God. And so I want to encourage you to always bring your word. Plus, you'll get to follow along, and there's different versions of the Bible. I love the King James because it stood the test of time, but I have the Amplified beside it. Now, a friend of mine gave me a new King James, and I love preaching out of it just because of some things that are in it that I just love. But when you have your Bible, follow along. If I skip a verse, don't say anything out loud. Just make sure you know I skipped the verse on accident, okay? I want you to turn to Psalms 23. Most of you know for several weeks I've been really getting into Psalms 23, and I've been breaking it down. Starting with verse 1, Psalms 23. Say amen if you're there. Amen. And I want you to look at verse 1 that says, "The Lord," who's your Lord? Do you have a Lord? Because it doesn't need to be rodeo, and it doesn't need to be your children, or your wife, or your husband, or your job, money. That's not the Lord. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. And we studied out that. You need to go back to our website or you know, the Facebook, and you can listen to most of all these messages. And we really studied out shepherd because it's big. Because a good shepherd takes care of his flock. And I've told this group mostly every time that I'm the shepherd of this church, but I'm not the shepherd, because Jesus is the shepherd, and I make sure that I stay in line with the shepherd. Say amen to that. And then praise God in order, because I'm a big order man. If you've ever had any counseling sessions with me, you'll find out that authority is very important to the kingdom of God. Because if you get out of authority, that's when you have a church split. And we will not allow that at this church. Say amen to that, because they're terrible. Oh, and I've had to deal with many. There's a church I'm reminded of, and most of you know, I've said it before, in Marble Falls, that split almost 10 times. And a split is just someone out there that thinks they can do it better than the person that God called. And so I'm really big on authority because it's order. And order is something that, you always need to understand in the kingdom of God, that we serve the shepherd, but then God calls, as Ephesians says, some to be a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, an apostle, or an evangelist. And I just happen to pastor, really, as an evangelist of this church. And a lot of people get saved here. Say amen to that. And it's no secret how I believe the Lord is pastored. But that's what this is talking about, because my job as the shepherd of this flock, I don't shepherd the church down the road. I just shepherd the people that are a part of this church, and it's an honor to do that. I pray for you, woo, Jesus. I mean, I'm going to go to battle for you. You know, I take care of, our sheep. And the great thing about being a shepherd is my job is to make sure you're tended to in your heart. Amen. Now, telling the truth is a very important thing in the kingdom. Would you say amen to that? Because Dad taught me a long time ago, don't sugarcoat the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, then let's believe it. Amen? And so, I'm not going to sugarcoat. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And the truth is the Word. And that's seed, praise God. So we studied that out, and then it says, I shall not want. And we found out that God has to be the provider. Amen? And then verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And again, that is rest. We definitely need rest, spiritually and physically. And I've said it almost every time, but listen to me. We're not talking about resting and staying home from church. Because you'll get out of the habit of coming to church and you won't go. Or you'll try to listen to it online and it's not the same. Ask anybody that lives far off and they watch us from all over the country, from California up to Montana and so on. And it is not the same being and watching there as it is being right here, getting to shake hands with someone, or just the communion of me needing to be around the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. I mean, I need your joy, brother. Right? Okay. That's what that means, that He makes you lay down in green pastures, and then He leads me beside the still waters, and that's refreshment. Because a good old cold drink, oh man. When I say drink, don't think of beer. I'm talking about good old water. I mean, cool. Cold water is what I like, you see, and it's refreshment. He restores my soul. Your soul is very important to understand, that your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And man, when He restores the soul where your emotions are not taken over, you're crying all the time and you can't control. And God's saying, nope, I will restore your soulish realm. If bad things have happened to you, trials and tribulations, etc., I mean, God will restore that soul, praise the Lord. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And that's just doing what's right. Amen. That's what, when you give your heart to Jesus, you are made righteous. Now, you might do some unrighteous things, but that's not who you are. I always say it's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. Well, you're righteous if Jesus is the Lord of your life, regardless of you doing some things unrighteous. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace and forgiveness. But there's something about doing things right. And you've got that authority, praise God. And then it says, for His name's sake. Colossians says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we end a prayer at the dinner table in Jesus' name. I'm getting most announcers. I heard one the other day I got to talk to. Most rodeo announcers are finally saying, in Jesus' name. Not in His name, because we don't know who His name is. But when you say Jesus, the Bible says that name is a name that's above all names that we sang about earlier. So when you end a prayer, you always end the prayer, not just amen, but in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we do everything, not in the name of Corey Ross, not in the name of your church or denomination, everything has to be done in the name that the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's Lord. In the name of, say it, Jesus. Say it louder, Jesus. I'm telling you, that name will save your life. When I was driving down that road with my family and a brand new baby girl named London, and an 18-wheeler was trying to turn around, and it was just almost dark, going to Levelland, Texas, and I had a big long trailer full of horses, four of them, and I had a wife and a brand new baby girl that was born in Lubbock, and when that 18-wheeler was trying to turn around right in the middle of the road, and I was already up to 65, 70 miles an hour, you know what I said? Jesus. And I'm telling you, it saved our life. Jesus, that again has the name above all names. Glory be to God. Verse 4 that we talked about last week. Yea, though I walk through, say through, amen, through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you know that's a pretty important thing to know, that your God is with you? You're going to hear about that today really fast. And even though we all go through a valley or through a trial and tribulation, because a Christian's not exempt from trials and tribulations because we live in a fallen world, but we don't have to live of the fallen world. So we're going to go through some valleys, and we need to get on through them. And the more mature you get in the Word of God, no matter what trial or tribulation it is, you'll know how to handle it. And when you handle it correctly, you get through it fast. And then the devil, remember, he's seeking whom he may devour. Roaming. Well, when you handle adversity correctly, or someone stabbing you in the back or doing you wrong or whatever it might be, when you handle those things correctly, let me see if I should tell this story. I just won't say names. How about that? But there's a person that was roping. And he had a partner. Let's just use that example, team roping. And he has this partner. And they have one rodeo left, let's say, before the end of the semester. And they have been entering together for all the rodeos in the first semester. And there's one rodeo left. And then there's a partner that didn't tell his other partner that he was changing partners. And it was one day until the books were closed on the last rodeo of the semester. And he just did not have the courage to tell his partner that he was roping with someone else. And so it was like, uh-oh, that's not integrity, see. But you know what? The other guy that it happened to, I mean, he had to find another partner in one day, or he wasn't going to get to rope at the college rodeos that he has a scholarship to rope at. And you know what? Didn't get angry. He handled it with grace, more than most of us older folk. I was so proud when I heard how he handled it. And I'm telling you, when you handle things correctly, that's when you come out in victory. And I'm telling you, he came out in victory because he did his job with a brand new partner. But on the other side is you reap what you sow. We just studied that, right? And you don't want to be that person that stays in a trial and tribulation. No, we got to handle it with grace and mercy. Because when you're done wrong, you can be resentful. It could end the friendship, etc. he just blew it off and just remained friends like no big deal. I said, you the man. You the man. And God blessed it, you see. Well, listen, that's what this is talking about. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then it says this, I'll fear no evil. Because we don't live by a spirit of fear. God didn't give it to us. We have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. Now, I want to deal with the next part really fast. It's the only one I'm going to deal with this morning. And here's what it says. For you are with me. Do y'all see that? Is everybody reading it? It's right there in the middle of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, sir, are with me. Man, I want to tell you that is an amazing thing to understand. I want you to real fast though, I want you to turn to Joshua. It's to the left of where you're at in Psalms. And just keep going. You'll see Judges and keep going to the left because it's the very next book to the left. If you want to start at Genesis, you'll go to Exodus, Leviticus, and eventually you'll finally go past Numbers and you'll find Joshua. I want you to find Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And let's just really study out, starting with verse 5, and we're going to go to about verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so, listen to this, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it. You know what the law is? The word of God. But now we don't live by the law. We live by the New Testament. We live by grace and mercy and forgiveness. We're a New Testament church. But the law, that's the word, and keep that in mind. So don't turn from the word. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law, the word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It goes on to say in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Again, it says it over and over here, y'all. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on, clap with me. Go ahead. I mean, man, you got to get excited that no matter what, your God is always with you. I want to show you a few things here. About five things that I want you to see, and you'll see the first one in verse 5. That God guarantees, write this down if you can. God guarantees success. He guarantees success for you because of His presence and His help. Anytime you're doing anything, you should always do it in the name of the Lord. Why? Because your God's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You've got to get a hold of this, y'all. Because when God's with you and you understand that, then there's nothing in this world that can get you down. I mean, all you got to do is just rely on the God that's with you. This is a very profound and powerful thing that we all need to understand. That's why it talked about the soulish realm above before it starts saying, "For I'm with you." The Lord is with you. Because you need to be convinced in your mind. Remember, we have the mind of Christ, right? You've got to be convinced in your mind that your God is always with you. You know what that means? That no matter what a doctor says to someone and about their health, that's not what you meditate on, right? The God that created you in His image, in God's likeness, He's the one that will cause your mind to start thinking the right things. And when He's with you, right? I mean, think about that. You know, when you're a little kid and you're with your dad and your dad's grown, and then someone, you know, tries to come get you. Well, you're around your dad. That's protection, right? I'm with Dad. I'm with my dad. My dad can whip your dad. Remember? Well, there's power. There's protection. And that's always a good thing to know that, hey, my dad is always with me. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, remember, you're in your mind, you're going, wait, now the doctor may have gave me a bad report, but I believe the report of the Lord. And the Lord, the report of the Lord, it says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Most everybody knows when that disease called Crohn's tried to jump on this body, and it did for about 7 years. When I wasn't married to my wife yet, and I was about 20, 22, 23, 24 in that area. 7 years my stomach hurt. And finally, when I moved to Lubbock, and Jamie lived on one side, her and her sister of Lubbock, and I lived way on the other side by the mall. They lived way, way east. I was on the west side. And I called her one night after eating a bowl of Captain Crunch. And I said, oh boy, and it started cramping. And that's what Crohn's does to you, is your intestines, all your organs just begin to cramp. Well, they had done it for 7 years, and I was skinny, wasn't I, James? Wow. I mean, suck in. I was skinny. 145 maybe? It was painful, painful. There would be times when I'd just kneel down. My buddy Trey Johnson, that we was roping and ministering together in the early years of ministry, he would come pray over me. And I called Jamie. He was a hard sleeper back then. And I said, hey, you got to come get me. It's about 1 in the morning, just puking. And she took me to the hospital that first time. And they gave me a shot, thought it was a bug, just a stomach bug. Whatever it was, it was okay until the next night when I ate the second bowl of Captain Crunch. Big mistake. And about 1 or 2 in the morning, here comes my phone call to Jamie. Hey, something's wrong. It won't stop. They took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon. And then they said this as they woke me up. You got a disease called Crohn's. Now, I had enough of the Word of God in me, and my mind was convinced that I wasn't about to receive that. So I said to an educated doctor, when he said I had Crohn's, I said, no, thank you. I don't receive that. And they thought I was crazy, fanatical, Said it again. I said, nope, I don't receive that. Now, I always say it like this so you'll understand it in your mind, because that's what this is talking about, y'all, is the fact was that I was diagnosed with Crohn's, and it was a fact. But this is the truth. And when you believe the truth of the Word of God more than the fact, then the truth always overrides the fact. And when they said I had to have medicine for the rest of my life because I had this disease that if I didn't take medicine would end up killing me, because they'd have to take out more intestine until you didn't have any more. And I kept saying, nope, nope, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Y'all, I've never taken one pill in all those years. And that's been 25 years ago. Why? Because I believed the Word of God. My God was with me. you see. He was with me. And man, I stood on that principle. Now, look at the second thing, though, that these scriptures really convince us of in verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do you know what that is? That's God encouraging you. Be strong, son. What do they say in the football games? Come on, boys. Come on, get fired up. I mean, go out there and hit someone. Don't you be afraid. When that helmet comes on, you become that man that's going to kill, steal, and destroy like the devil. Right? Because they don't know. They're just trying to motivate you. Come on, boy. You can do it. Don't you dare give up. I mean, because see, that's what needs to happen. Don't give up. Don't give up. Yeah, you might have gone through a lot of stuff. The enemy might have been attacking you in relationships and marriage. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, girl. So don't you live by that past. You live by the victory that God's given you. Why? Because he's with you. And he's got you in the palm of his hand. And he loves you. You see, that's what that scripture is saying to you and me. Be strong. Come on, be courageous, brother. You got to take care of that family. That's right, I like that. That's right, man. I'm going to take care of it. You see, God's trying to get you guys motivated and encouraged that when you go through a trial and tribulation, be strong, brother. Come on. The devil trying to mess with you? Right? Be strong, it's saying. Be courageous. And that's what he was doing to Joshua right here. It was God's encouragement to Joshua concerning his future. His future. He's saying, hey, I got you in the palm of my hands, man. Hey, chill out. Just stay in the road. Stay in the road of blessing. Stay in my perfect will. I've got you. You see. And that's what he's saying to all of us today. Come on, be encouraged. Come on, you're still living. I speak life over you and not death. Right? Amen. Now look at the third thing I see here in verse 7. It's talking about never turning from the truth. No, don't turn from. Never turn away or doubt the word of God. In other words, speak it. And don't let it depart from your mouth. When someone gave me that, hey, you got Crohn's, you know what a lot of people that's not mature in the Word of God do? Because they hadn't been, maybe they hadn't been taught. You know what they do? Well, my diabetes, my arthritis is bugging me. Well, wait a minute. Is it really yours? Or did Jesus die for that? He says, cast every care upon Him. My cancer, I've heard them say it over and over, you know, my cancer's really bugging me. My all the cedar is really, you know, it's that time of year for flu. You know, my flu is just getting my. And God's trying to say, hey, wait a minute. You need to speak the Word of God, not all that worldly stuff. The Word of God is what we need to be speaking out of our mouth. That's why it says don't turn away from the Word. I won't say one thing until it comes to pass, and it's this close. But I was believing God in the early years, y'all remember, for a motorhome. I was preaching for George Strait. And it was when the big roping was at close to his ranch down in South Texas. And here I am preaching for George Strait. And when I got there, I guess because he did a concert in those days, all the motels were taken. And I had to sleep in my truck on the seat that It didn't have the console in the middle back in those days, but it had a hump. And I remember getting up with that hump. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to go preach for George Strait, and I hope everybody wants to be like me. And so I was like, wait a minute, Lord, I work for you. You're the one that called me. If I work for you, I don't want to sleep in a truck, sir. So I started believing for a motorhome. Every day, I would see a motorhome, I'd say, Father, thank you, Lord, for my motorhome. I need you to provide it for me. Thank you for my motorhome. And they got nicer and nicer and nicer. Thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord. I wouldn't covet that one, but when one would come by, I said, thank you for mine, sir, like that. You know, listen to me. I was confessing it over and over and over, not to people, just to me. Father, thank you for a motorhome. A month and 13 days later, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, hey, the Lord told me to give you a motorhome. Are you going to believe the word and speak it since God's your provider or not? Okay, look at this next one real fast. The fourth thing that I see here about Psalms 23 saying, for thou art with me. The fourth thing is in verse 8. You know what you should do instead of meditating on all the bad things you're going through? Why don't you meditate on what? The Word. Instead, meditate on the Word. And again, when you meditate on it, you got to speak it and don't let it depart from you. You know, just a really quick thing on the one before that I really need you to see this because I wrote it down to the far right and I missed it almost. Do you realize that when you don't turn away or doubt the Word of God, that's when you prosper wherever you go? Did you read that part? When you believe the Word of God, that's when you prosper, right? Then when you meditate on the Word of God, then that's when you really, I mean, you just get it on the inside of your knower, in your spirit, man. And man, you speak it wherever you go. And then finally, the last thing is, and I call this number 5, don't be afraid of anything. Why? Because God's with you. Remember, it says it right in verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you to be strong? Son, daughter, hey son, hey kids, be strong. And with good courage, don't you dare be afraid, it's saying. Nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Your God is with you no matter what. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this message, it'll change your life. Because no matter what you go through, I don't care if your body is sick and hurting, you declare the Word of God over. And I know it takes some effort. I don't feel healed. But man, when you speak, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. What are you doing? You're doing what Matthew says, calling things that be not as though they were. You see, we've got to start speaking this Word of God. Why? Because God's trying to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through in this old world. And it's crazy out there, right? I mean, when someone in New York that is a socialist and not afraid to tell you he's a communist, he's kind of backed away because he don't like people calling him a communist, but he believes that, y'all. So just be a man. Stand up for what you believe, boy. But I'm telling you, the principles of the Word of God is against socialism. You know why? Because socialism is the government giving you everything, which then will cause you not to want to work. But the Word of God says, no, no, no. If you sow the seed, you work your tail off, you'll be a success. Any hard-working person in any sport The ones that work the hardest are the ones that succeed. So I'm saying today, no matter what's going on in this world, you don't have to live of it, even though we're living in it. Stay hooked with the Word of God. And Psalms 23 will bless you. So be strong. Come on, get encouraged today, okay? And then when you're encouraged, you'll teach your kids to stay encouraged. Don't you give up to depression. Don't you give up to suicide. Don't you give up to sickness and disease. Don't you give up to death. No, you're a victor in Christ Jesus. You are someone. You can do all things through Christ. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Come on, kids. Come on, get up. Come on. Because that's encouragement. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
So let's get fired up. Because we got to go back out the gates here in a little bit, right? And it's not going to be all this agreement. We might get to the gas pump and someone might be upset. You might get your burritos not ordered correctly. Are you going to be angry? Or are you just going to eat the thing without potato? That's the Word of God. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, we love You. Thank You for all that You have done for us. You're not doing anything other than what You've already done. You've already conquered hell. You've conquered death. You conquered the grave. You've given us all the promises because You conquered sin. So, Father, thank You, Lord, that we live in Your kingdom because You're our shepherd. And we it's just such a privilege to serve You, sir. So thank You. Thank You for the kingdom that we live in that is good for us. It's good for us. So we want to live by that kingdom, which is the Word of God. It's truth. It doesn't return void. It's promises that are yes and amen. So Father, we receive this message by faith. In Jesus' mighty name. Before I say amen and you lift your head, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want everybody in this place to pray a prayer with me. Now, the reason I want all of you to pray this prayer is it's the prayer of salvation. And the majority of you are born again. You're saved. Jesus is your Lord. And I'm going to have you pray this prayer with someone maybe beside you or around you that has never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And that's who I really want to talk to right now if you're watching or you're in this audience. What would happen to you if you left this earth and the Bible is true? And you stand before God Almighty. The Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. What's going to happen to you individually? Let me help you. If Jesus is your Lord, Romans 10:9, if you've confessed Him with your mouth that He's Lord and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the King James says uses a word called thou. It says thou shalt be saved. When you stand before God and Jesus is the Lord of your life here on this earth, when you die and leave this earth and you stand before God, your name's written in this Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says. And when you stand before God on the judgment day, it's just to judge if you're born again or if you're not. If you're born again and Jesus, the Son of God, right, is the Lord of your life, God's going to say this to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into heaven. The rest, the joy of the Lord. But I always say it like this. Remember, the Bible says God's not a man that He can lie. So He cannot lie. There's only one way to heaven according to John chapter 14. Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. And no one comes unto the Father but by or through Me. So you have to give your heart to the Son of God, Jesus. Not be good. I mean, thank God for being good, but that can't get you into heaven. No, that's why Jesus died a cruel death. He died for you and me. But is He the Lord of your life? And if He's not, that's why I want everybody to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in it, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. Now, all of y'all that are saved, it's not to get you saved again just in case. Okay? You got to have confidence in your salvation. If you're born again, you need to know, no matter if you made a mistake or two or more, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Thank God for grace, mercy, forgiveness. But if you're here this morning, you don't know where you would go. You don't know if you'd go to the place called heaven or the place called hell. I want you to make heaven your home by praying this prayer with all of us. If you're watching and you've never given your heart to Jesus, pray this prayer. Or lead someone else to Jesus by praying this prayer. But if you're here today, Jesus is not your Lord. You don't know what would happen to you if you died. Pray the prayer of salvation. And I'll pray it. Just repeat it. Pray it out loud. And then believe what you pray. You ready? Would you all pray this prayer? Especially anybody that has never given their heart to Jesus. Do it right now by praying this. Out of your mouth say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, on this earth, I want heaven here. So I'm going to live for you. I need help, but I'm willing to learn in Jesus' name. Before I say amen, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm just going to ask you right where you're sitting, or if you're standing, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning and you never had. When I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then put it right back down. And what you're doing is you're doing what God says. If you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, never be ashamed that Jesus is the Lord of your life. So if you just gave your heart to Him this morning, get that hand up with boldness. One, two, three. Ready? And then put it down. One, two, three. I see that one. Thank you. Thank you. And just get it up all around. Appreciate you. I'm going to give you a Bible. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer. You never had been saved, but Jesus is now your Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God we have a sister in the Lord and a family member.